I got bad news and bad news for 21.
Rob's in here like, well, which one's the good news?
Which one's the good news?
Sorry, bro.
I got bad news and bad news.
The news is, we're here, I guess.
We're alive.
We're not dead.
This place isn't burnt down.
The good news. Well, I mean, not currently burnt down. We are.
Yeah, but... Yeah, it was, but now it's not. But this is livable here.
Kind of.
Welcome in, bienvenue. Welcome back to Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin, Renaissance World Tour attendee. And I'm joined by my co-host, Gingy, my love, and TJ, you ignorant slut.
I am ignorant because I don't even know what that first thing you said was English.
It was not.
Okay, yeah.
It's German, and then French, and then English.
Gotcha. Hence the... Did you really go on the Renaissance World Tour? Did you attend that?
Yes, I did. I went to the third show in Atlanta, which is the second time she did the... thick, all up in your mind, drunk in love thing. Okay. Since the first show changed my entire fucking life. Ooh, buddy, that stadium is beautiful.
Are you shocked I knew what you were talking about?
No, I know you know. I know that you know. You're married. I'm not. Did you go?
Did you? That face though.
No.
It was amazing. I can't wait for Cowboy Carter. Anyways, we're not here to discuss Beyonce. Otherwise, my kid would listen to this podcast. We're here to discuss Game of Thrones, Season 3, Episode 2, Dark Wings, Dark Words. An air date of April 7th, 2013, written by Vanessa Taylor, directed by Daniel Menahan, and had a rating of 4.27 million. Pretty okay.
I like this episode.
Yeah. I've got a lot of I'm definitely going first and stick it to the pointy end. And
that's fine, because I don't think I have like but one quote.
Well,
I was just so intrigued by the episode. I didn't really.
It was a good episode, and as I was watching, I realized like there's dark words in all of these scenes. So can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, definitely thought this episode was better than the first episode.
I can't wait to see where you put it at the blind rankings at the end of the...
Oh, my God. All right, well, are you guys ready to get started?
Let's do it.
All right, well, we can start in the north, where Bran is dreaming about that dang raven again.
There was no Bran in episode one, right?
No, right. He was not.
Boy, he grew up in between seasons.
Yeah, he did.
He's at the age again where you
yeah,
just...
Yeah, like, it's just rolling.
Yeah, man. Puberty is hitting him. Poor Hodor's back.
We see him walking through the woods, and he looks like he's 6 foot tall. Like, damn, you grew.
Oh, man. But and then, you know, you get a little bit of nostalgia, too, because it's like we get the callback to the pilot episode with his brother over his shoulder, and you're just like, oh... But he's not a baby anymore, and his brothers aren't babies anymore, and their dad is dead. Yikes.
Ned speaking from the sky.
I love it.
Is that the only? Is that the last time we hear Sean Bean's voice?
Yes. Pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now we'll be on the lookout for it, for sure.
Yeah.
But then he's joined by who knows?
That's the kid from the Maze Runner series.
He is the kid from the Maze Runner series.
He also looks like the guy that plays in American Horror Story. I don't know his name. I don't know the actor's name. Evan Peters.
Evan Peters, yeah. Okay, a little bit.
Maybe.
Little bit.
Every time I see him, I'm like, he looks just like fucking Evan Peters.
I'll explain it like this. I was watching pregame coverage before we started recording, and she was interviewing Jordan Love, and I said, wow, Jordan Love really looks like Jalen Hurts' less fine brother. So is that the football reference I can use?
Yeah, I guess.
But strange kid tells Bran that he can't kill the Raven because the Raven is him. You've had the feather to fly all along, Dumbo.
Right.
Dark wings. Dark wings. And then what? Bran awakens to dark words. Black magic, black dream.
Yeah. Yo, Osa's paranoid, man.
Yeah, she's not a fan of the three-eyed Raven.
Yeah, well, experience will do that to me. I don't fuck with that magic shit.
Yeah, I guess when you're a wildling and you see some crazy shit.
Although, like, the crazy shit we see later from the wildlings, they're just like, LOL, everybody doesn't do this where you're from.
Yeah, yeah, no, right?
That's true.
Oh, you ain't never seen one of these?
Well, I mean,
what kind of poverty did you come from? Like, what is this? Because it just stands out, but that way everybody else can keep it in mind. But there's something in this episode that, okay, boom, hit me.
Boom, hit you?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. I look forward to it because I wonder, like, I had like a little revelation, but I don't know, same thing. All right. Neat. Let's move on to Harrenhal, where Robb Stark is king of the grim, bearded, stinking barbarians.
That's a way to compliment somebody.
You guys are both bearded. I can't smell you from here.
I think I smell all right today. I ain't really doing nothing strenuous.
Me neither.
Nothing strenuous.
Yeah, nothing
not
strenuous.
Too many emails this week, y'all.
I'm driving today, so that's all I did today.
Well, the Riverlands, you know, are here now. Bruce Bolton seems to always interrupt these newlyweds here, right? And what's he coming with? Dark words delivered by dark wings.
Yeah.
I love a theme.
I love too.
I got bad news and bad news. Which one you want?
Rob's in here like, well, which one's the good news?
Which one's the good news? No,
sorry, bro.
I got bad news and bad news.
Good news is we're here, I guess.
We're alive.
We're not dead.
This place isn't burnt down.
It's the good news. Well, I mean, not currently burnt down. We are.
Yeah, but, yeah, it was, but now it's not. But this is livable here.
Kinda.
But there's news from both River Run and Winterfell. From River Run, we learn that obviously we must really be at war because there is a dead Tully. And Catelyn has to process death of her father.
I'm kind of sad about that.
Yeah. And then Rob's like, hey, mom, welcome to the Dead Dad's Club. Yeah. It's the place to be. And then the letter from Winterfell brings word that everyone was massacred, the Ironborn are gone, Bran and Rickon weren't found, and they torched the place.
Right? Yeah, so, and Theon is not found.
Also, I paid attention to how he read this letter. And the note says, before Bolton's bastard shows up to Winterfell, they found everybody massacred in the castle to the torch. But we saw in the episode that the men were there before any of that happened. So I got questions. Did Bolton tell his son to say some bullshit, or are they all traitors?
We will get answers, number one. Number two, I do have a question for you. Since you asked that question, that made me think of a question I'm going to ask you. Do you think we've met Bolton's bastard yet?
Ooh, I don't think, like...
You like that question, Lauren?
Up to this point in
No, up to the end of the episode.
Up to the end.
Yeah, no? do you think we met Bolton's bastard yet?
No.
Okay.
You know what, Terry?
Yo, this brain be going, man. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, man. Once a week, something just sparks in there, and boy, oh boy, it's dangerous.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, this should be.
I've been all day long, I've been like, men are so stupid. Men are so stupid. And you have really redeemed men.
Yo, imagine that, James. Let me be the savior. Look at that shit.
Right?
On it.
But yeah, we will get answers to your questions. We'll get those answers quite soon, actually. So
it's good to know.
But yep. Yeah, I think it, like you said, like what we saw last episode doesn't match the letter. And what he's telling Rob, even then, like Theon got away, doesn't match what we see in the next scene.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, speaking of Theon getting away, where did Theon get away to?
How you feel about that? I was going to say, as I'm watching this, oh man, I can't wait.
However, the whole the doing the thing underneath the fingernails
makes me cringe every time. I get, I shake every time I see it. They don't even take it off in the scene.
It's like that scene in Lost 2 where the dude shows the bamboo underneath. Oh my gosh.
When Saeed does that to Sawyer,
I can't. Oh, I can't. Oh,
I can't do it either. I just like, I think about it.
I could do anything else. Like you could have chopped his fingers off one by one. I've been all right, but fingernails
though, like creep. Toenail, I can't do fingernails on the chalkboard. Like that shit. Like
oh yeah, that
gets me
that
too.
That just hurts my ears.
Nah, it's the whole thing. Like makes me like cringe. Gives me the shakes. I park his son. Theon's going through it, man.
Theon on a rack, on a torture rack, where he belongs. Where he belongs. I know what I said about him, but that is where he belongs. En route to King's Landing, Jaime Lannister and Brienne the Stallion hear some dark words. Very ominous. What did you think of this, Ginge? This gentleman on this horse, while this stupid idiot won't shut up.
The gentleman on the horse. Talking about the dude that fun up to him. Yeah. Jaime is right. They probably should have dealt with him, but
honorable people.
Yeah, like Brienne is. She's a good person.
We see it all the time in the show, man. Like we see these people that live by honor, and it always seems to come back to bite them in the ass.
Yeah,
because like what really got her to like snap at him was the way he talked about Renly.
Yeah,
like
let me just say
me, but like you're not gonna fuck with me about my king.
Yeah, but can we just say that? We don't give enough credit to Jamie Frost Marty is. He pieced that shit together.
Yo, he literally, like, this whole time when he's explaining, like, talking everything, I'm like, yo, this kid actually kind of smart.
Yeah, like, Jamie's piecing it together.
Like, he got a little bit of Tyrion in him.
I didn't see you at Winterfell. You weren't there. Oh, was it Stannis? No, it couldn't be Stannis. Renly. Then he makes his insults and she just spills it all.
Yep.
I just want to say that, like, once again, men are messy because, like, he picks up on what mess and drama. He couldn't pick up on what was happening at Whispering Wood. That's why he got captured. But mess and drama.
Well, now he's redeeming himself. He's trying to get out of the situation. Like he's doing anything that he knows is going to work.
Yeah, but then he makes that comment about Renly and she says foul rumors. And he's just like he was just like, oh, I'm a victim of foul rumors. But she's like I heard you say from your own mouth that
he admitted it.
Not a rumor, dog.
Yeah.
I heard
it's to be fair, it's a rumor for everybody else.
No, that man trying to rumor. Pull a Dr. Disrespect.
But as to the dark words in this scene, when the traveler says that they get you no matter where you go, you can't win. It's a game, like we're playing a game. Nobody. I mean, dark. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Ominous. Foreshadowing.
I think I talk about foreshadowing later on in the episode that I'm assuming is foreshadowing.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it in this one. A fuck ton. You know, in King's Landing, you want to give everyone your flowers except for Joffrey. He's absolutely right. No flowers for Joffrey. No.
Nah, he doesn't get it.
Yeah. Also, you look
good for him for being self-aware.
And wait a minute, because like I couldn't get over how incredibly pale he was when he took that top off, to where I was just like, is this a choice in like directing? Like, is this on purpose? Or like, is this Jack Gleason?
Probably him.
Like,
probably
him. Because like it hit me like it was very Twilight. But like, because if it's Joffrey, then like Joffrey doesn't even like, he's talking like later on what he's talking to Margaery about. He's like, oh, I'm gonna go do this. Bro, you can't even catch a tan. Like, I know. I know that you are not this dude.
Yo, he looks like Captain America before the serum.
Yo, yep, yep.
Now we know whose body that was in that movie. I hope he got paid well.
I can understand why Jack Gleason stopped acting after Game of Thrones.
Can't get a job looking like that. They were like, we want to use you, but
I mean,
we don't have anything to work with here.
But yeah, so Cersei and Joff, we haven't seen them alone in a while. She asks about Margaery. And his mind immediately goes to like what carnage and havoc he can wreak with the Tyrells. And she's like, okay, but no, what do you think about her?
She wasn't really asking. She was more like shitting on Margaery the whole time. Yeah, like with the flower thing. Like, that could be Margaery's dress. It's just enough fabric.
Just enough fabric. Yeah. Wait, yo, she jealous.
That I told, like, when you asked me what I was looking forward to and I said Cersei and Marge, this is it.
She's met her match.
We're getting amped up, baby.
She has met her match. And we'll come back to that. And we'll talk about why she's met her match later on in the episode, but
yeah,
she's definitely met her match.
Cersei doesn't trust her intentions with the common people.
Probably smart.
Yeah, because when you feed people, like, nobody's gonna bite the hand that feeds them.
We saw what happened in House of Dragons.
There it is.
Oh.
There it
is. You know, it's Joffrey kind of like, he talks a good game. Like, whenever you ask Joffrey about what he's gonna do with so and so, like, it always sounds good. Like, he always sounds tough, big and bad.
Sure.
But that's where we draw the line. Like, that's it. it doesn't get tough. He's all bark, no bite. Sounds good though.
I did kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I could like really feel him on when he was telling his mom, when saying like, stop asking me questions about being in a relationship. But he just brushed her off, because I'd be doing that to my mom. I'd be like, yo, mom, I'm 34 years old, man. I don't need these questions anymore.
To open this.
I know where to put it.
Oh, no, we ain't talking about that kind of that stuff.
I was going to say, we ain't talking about that today. Next episode.
Oh no.
we'll circle back.
A pin in that. But he also tells his mom, did anybody use this?
Yes.
Okay.
About
what intelligence?
Women? Yeah. That's my quote.
talk about, well, so then in the quote section we'll talk about boy moms and the boys that they raise and when they meet them and how they're so shocked that they're included in the women that they hate.
Yeah. But yeah, her whole thing is just to turn Joffrey against Margaery.
Yeah.
And later on in the episode, like, does it happen?
But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
For now, though, what has two thumbs, a dead dad, and loves lemon cakes the best? This girl. Also, Sansa Stark.
Dark words.
Dark words, baby!
Shit.
Welcome to Sansa's life now. Trusting Littlefinger worked so well for your dad.
Yeah, Littlefinger wants you. No, he doesn't. It's Littlefinger.
So in this, Dark Wings, Dark Words, I want you to remember Littlefinger's house sigil that he chose for himself is Mockingbird. Everybody calls Sansa Little Bird, Little Dove.
Yeah.
What's she about to do? Tweet, 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 tweet.
Yeah.
Dark Wings and her dark words finally telling somebody the truth about who he is. He's a monster.
But
he's
before, yeah,
monster.
Before we get there, though, let's talk about some of the people we meet. So we meet the grandmother.
Lady.
Yeah, so.
I like her.
Keep out on. Oh, like she's her. Great. She is amazing.
I like her.
Yeah.
She does amazing through the series, so.
A realist in the room.
Always.
Knows my girl.
Always the realist in the room. And I think she passed away a couple years ago, like, in real life, so rest in peace to her.
Bless it.
But yeah, so Shay has a conversation with Sansa about Littlefinger.
Yeah, I just want to say Sansa is like Ned and Kat did not prepare her for the world.
Not
she
at
is
all,
so
man.
Innocent and like doesn't even realize.
So
like,
fucking naive.
And like even when you think about how much she has grown up between episode 2 when she was asked about Joffrey and this episode 2 where she's asked about Joffrey, she's still.
Yeah, she
so naive.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, because and Shay tries to warn her, like, first of all, that one line when she was like, he's too old, they never feel that way.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
They don't.
They don't. They don't. And there's only one thing men want from a pretty girl. And yep. Sansa thought it was love. Please be for real. Like, a boy your age probably doesn't even, you really can't even trust that. Come, girl. Oh.
How heartbroken was she when Loras didn't remember her giving her that rose?
Her rose, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, because I, in the book, I listened to this part. I finally finished that track of a book. Everything that happens in season 3 happens in that book. And most of the stuff that happens in season 4 happens in that book. And so now I'm confused about what happens next book-wise. Like, what did they lose?
Yeah, right? If everything's... Because everybody says, like, you know, they don't follow the books.
Well, I mean, they don't follow the books, but, like, there's basically 2 seasons in this one book. So, like, I'm trying to think about what happens in season 4 that could be in book 4.
Yeah, because that's where the book's in, right?
No, 5.
Five. Okay.
So, and like 5 ends how season 5 ends. That's why I'm confused. This is just so much. But anyway, yes, Loras doesn't remember her. It is devastating because he's so fine. So fine. Little curly haired girls like Loras Tyrell. And she's taken to meet the OG. The O is for Alena, the Dowager of Highgarden, baddest bitch in the realm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
who hates her? Who hates her son and husband?
Girl, she can't stand the man. Oh my god!
Lord Oaf of Highgarden.
Hold on, before we get to the grandma, I have an issue with the Loras and them walking up to the. Loras and Sansa walking up.
Is it the two people sitting on the bench pretending to talk?
No, it's the Lannister men.
Oh, behind them?
So the Lannister men are walking behind him, like a good like 50 feet back. And then as Loras and Sansa turn the corner to the garden, the Lannister men are still at the previous crossway, and they're just chilling there. Then the camera swaps to where you were facing Sansa and Margaery. And like Loras is walking away, or Loras had walked away, and there the two Lannister men are standing at the end of that walkway. And I'm like, did y'all like full sprint to get to your post? Because there's no way in that short amount of time.
So they did that in multiple takes.
Yeah, it was two scenes cut together.
How only you catch this shit? I never catch this shit.
Production thought they did amazing. They thought they did. Oopsies.
Point it out.
Tell you otherwise. But Elena offers Sansa some lemon cakes, and she sings, and I sing for lemon cakes too. Lemon cake, cookies, lemonade, anything lemon flavored.
Nah.
This is what?
I get pissed off when people are like, oh, you want this lemon pound cake? Like, no, that ain't my grandma's 7-Up pound cake. Sorry.
I'll take a pound cake, but I don't want no lemon in it.
Yeah, don't give me a lemon pound cake.
The 7-Up pound cake sounds good, though.
Yeah, that shit's fucking amazing. My grandma's in her 90s, though. She ain't cooking no more. It's kind of sad, but.
You need to tell Brittany to get that recipe.
Right? Somebody needs that goddamn recipe. I've been telling my sister, get the recipe.
But, you have to get it, because you will lose it. Because like,
and it'll be gone forever.
My grandpa used to make these yeast rolls for Thanksgiving when I was a kid. He passed when I was in like fifth grade. And so when I was pregnant with my son, all I wanted was those yeast rolls. Nobody knows how to make them. No,
just go to Walmart, go to the frozen section, pick out them Sister Schuberts.
Now listen, I love for now. Cuz we have to make those like double. First of all, there's six people in my house, so we have to make double pans anyway.
No, that's a staple. That's a staple at Black Thanksgiving.
They don't get the middle parts. Like they don't get the middle ones. Those are mine because they're always a little bit underdone.
No.
Like, I'll eat a whole pan of those by myself.
That's a staple at a Black Thanksgiving, I'm telling you. Sister Schubert. Sister Schubert gotta be black.
White lady on that cover, but listen,
she was really a deaconess at a black church that could make some damn yeast bread. Tell y'all. That's why she's Sister Schubert. Anyway, before we get off of this scene, I do want to point out that Elena does say that her son's riding a lion instead of a horse, and I thought that was pretty telling.
Yeah, after her husband rode a horse off of
off the cliff. You know, how stupid can you fucking be? You know, why are you looking at the sky?
Like, thank God we're rich, because they would not be able to do anything else.
But you know what we see about this house? That the women are the smartest people at this house.
Yeah.
Because Lady Elena asks the truth about Joffrey, and Sansa starts to lie badly, which is very important to note, that Sansa starts to lie very badly. She strips and she stumbles and she sticks to the script. And then Elena's like, tell it true. And she does. He's a monster.
I feel like there's more to it, though, than what Margaery and Elena is like asking for Sansa. It's not just like, what type of man is Joffrey? They're trying to see like what's his triggers, what's his like demeanor,
we
so that
see
they
this,
can
though.
Do something.
Yeah, but we see this later in the episode.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why.
Yep, so we'll come back to that.
But do you think that, because like at the end of this, after she says it, Sansa's like wringing her hands. So do you think that she can trust that they won't say anything? That like, that she's told.
I actually do trust that they won't rat her out. But I feel like they're doing it because they're trying to get deeper into Joffrey and them.
Okay. Love it.
And I think it's clear, and I don't think like this is any news to anybody. It's clear Elena does not like the Lannisters. She's not a fan.
Oh yeah.
Oh. I mean, she barely likes the people in her own home.
But she don't like the people in her own home. She don't like the person she married or the person she gave birth to. So.
And I want to say,
like real quick too, before we get any further in the season, with the Tyrells and the Lannisters and joining their houses, the two richest houses in Westeros, it's important to note that the Tyrells' wealth is replenishable because it's agriculture, whereas the Lannisters' wealth is finite gold.
And they kind of act like two rich people that live side by side, and each one is trying to updo the other. So when one gets a new car, the other one's going to go get a new car.
We love a riches to more riches story. On
this. For sure.
Robb Stark's forces are riding for River Run. Things are great here. This is not a distraction. This is a fune. This is a funeral procession. What do you?
That's a big distraction.
What do you think?
No, I mean, I guess they're doing the right thing, I guess, technically.
You're on the Karstark side.
The who? Oh, Karstark? Yeah. Where he's lost the war since he married the old girl. It does kind of seem like he's kind of like not focusing on what his original reason for doing all this is.
And has Robb gone soft?
Gone? Softer?
Yeah, softer. Like these dudes are like, this dude has like no problem saying that to him.
Nope.
None. And like, you know, we clown Joffrey all the time, but is anybody saying that to Joffrey?
No, because Joffrey's cruel. Nobody's afraid of Robb. Robb doesn't instill fear in his men. And right now, respect is a little bit out the window, too.
Yeah.
About 1 foot out the door.
Well, at one point in time, he had the respect.
He did.
But now he doesn't even have that anymore.
Nope. Because he also had the fear. Like, Grey Wind did that for him when he bit off his finger.
Yeah.
So now he's got a name. He's a Stark. That's pretty much all that's holding this together now. And we're headed to River Run.
Like, why do we hate her so much?
Because she's a foreigner and the Northerners are xenophobic. You will see that.
But have you seen her?
Exactly.
She's exotic. She's fun. Everything else Kat said about her.
I mean, she did go from like sawing off people's legs to being queen consort. That's something.
Yeah.
That's something. And she takes this opportunity to bond with her mother-in-law, who is making a protection talisman for her children. And we get a big story here. What did you think?
Y'all ever see the little video of like the kid sitting in the back seat of the car in his car seat and he's going, oh bullshit, oh bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing that the entire time Kat was talking.
Really?
Yep.
Until
the end where she said that she didn't keep her end of the promise.
Yeah.
I was like, she was sitting there saying, yeah, I'm going to take care of him and I'm going to love him and give him a name. I'm sitting there like, oh, bullshit. You ain't do none of that.
Didn't do none of that.
Oh, bullshit. And then she was like, oh, yeah, I didn't do it.
We'll come back to that in the quote segment, though.
Do you know what that story kind of reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of the way Cersei told the story in season one to Kat.
Yeah. While Kat was praying over her child.
Yeah. And this time, Kat's telling a story to Lisa.
Yeah. And I mean, oh, Catelyn. We'll come back to this, though, for sure.
But before she told that story, like, Kat was kind of a bitch. Like,
no, she was. Damn, yeah, she is not happy.
Now, listen.
Bitch.
She was snappy, and she did apologize. She was like, I'm sorry. It's just like, you can't make one. You're not a mother.
She won't really apologize. She was like,
like,
this, only I can make this right now.
Like, yeah, this is why I snapped at you. Like, I'm
yeah, but we already know that Kat don't like her because she's fun and exotic.
And we also know that Kat shows when she does not like somebody. Like, Kat has no problem showing somebody that they hate him.
But I don't think it's that she doesn't like her.
It's that he went behind.
She doesn't like. It's because, like, this has now put him in danger. Look at how these men are treating him because you're here. Like, it's not you. You could have been anyone whose last name isn't Frey.
Nah, I don't know. It might be Kat.
No, Kat, I also agree.
I just think Kat's like, if they ain't one of us, I ain't gonna like them. She don't like John. She don't like her.
Not a northern.
They ain't them.
She's not as xenophobic as the rest of them, but they are pretty. It's pretty bad. It's like the difference between like nationalism and patriotism up there. Ooh wee. Anything?
Yeah, good story though.
Anything else?
This is where we start to see like really good transitions. We get like two of them.
Yes.
In the episode.
You mean where they're talking about a character and then transitions to that character?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you mean
it happens quite a bit.
Yeah, you mean that childless or that motherless child that Kat couldn't love? Beyond the Wall with Mance Rayder?
Yep.
Where everyone's gonna die if they don't get south? That guy? Flawless transition.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was good. But John is marching with Mance's people. These are fucking, Mance, like, these are my people. This is where I come from.
Now, have y'all ever seen the movie The Warriors?
Yes! I love the Warriors.
Me
movie?
Too. I love The Warriors. You said what?
Like the 70s movies where the
gangs.
Yeah, the gangs.
So when he's talking about like how like all these people speak like seven different languages and they're all together fighting, it reminds me of the speech to God in The Warriors. It's like, nobody's bopping, nobody. it reminded me of that.
Yes. He brings together every single.
Yeah, like he had all the gangs there.
And he's like, listen, we outnumber the cops. We can do this.
Yep.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, I love the Warriors. You know, I'm going to watch The Warriors.
I love that movie. That's such a good movie.
Yeah, but he's united 90 clans who speak seven different languages and they all have beef with each other. He is Silas. You're right.
Yeah.
That's who Mance Rayder is.
I was like, man, look at this parallel. I see where George R. R. Martin's inspiration came from.
So we meet like a warg officially.
Yes.
For it. Can't believe, John, you fucking brokey. You've never seen a warg.
Never seen a fucking warg. Which, come on, man.
Which, in this scene, before, when I first time watching it, I was like, so does that make Bran one?
Okay, so you caught on.
Yeah, because Bran, you know, the one episode, he's in the wolf's eyes And I was like, huh, does that make Bran one? And then, you know, a few scenes later.
I have something interesting to add to that when we get there.
Okay.
Like something that they took out from the book. It's not that.
Oh, okay.
It's something that they took out from the book, which makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we see John in full Wildling gear, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And nobody's covering their ears. I have a real problem with that. Somebody put a hat on the baby's head. It's too cold for that. I'm sorry.
They live out there all the time.
I don't care. Your ears don't get cold.
No. All the two things you need to keep warm are your ears and your hands. Other than that, you'd be all right.
Nah, my feet.
Yeah, your feet too, buddy. Yeah.
Anyway,
my feet get cold. My hand. Ever since I lost weight, though, my hands really do be getting freezing. Before I lost weight, no problem. Lost weight, but I don't have no problems with my ears. They don't get cold.
My ears are big, so I got problems with my ears. Such is life.
But their work has been scouting at the Fist of the First Men, where he sees dead crows.
What do you think went through John's mind when he said that?
Should have been there.
Yeah. He should have been there, but he wasn't. But you know who was?
Yep.
Damn.
Speaking of dead crows, here we get this another good transition.
Yes. Dark.
You know, if we would have just got these in season one, like season one would have been so easy to keep up with.
You were right.
Like, if they would have just did this in season one.
But yeah, we get Dark Wings and Dark Words. Dark Wings, the crows, Dark Words. Rast is a big, stupid fucking bully. Like, what? We're all miserable. Everyone is miserable, dog.
It's funny you say that because I wrote down they look miserable.
Everybody is sad, and poor Sam's got PTSD. He stared down a horse who's like with half its face missing.
I think Sam is more feeling guilty
about
because not sending him ravens.
I think it's some guilt.
Nah,
he tells Gren and Ed, like, y'all left me.
Yeah, I think it's. Yeah, I think he feels too. Like I have no chance. Like, these people left me once. Like, I ain't gonna make it.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. The dude's like, yeah, we left you. You're fat and slow.
Might as well tell
like,
the truth.
I was like, bro, chill.
might as well give it to him.
Right. I mean, but we're back here for you now. Why?
Yeah, tough love, man. And Mormont forbids you to die, so you can't die.
Exactly.
That actually surprised me.
Really?
Yeah, I was a little surprised by
that. That he tied his fate to Rast like that, and he's like, if he doesn't make it, you don't make it?
Yeah.
Why?
I just didn't think he had really that much respect for Sam like that.
I think Mormont is a fair leader and respects everybody that's under him. Because he does not seem to play favorites at all.
Well.
I mean, he kind of paid favorite to John.
Yeah, but he was quick.
But
to,
John,
he
did,
was quick to get in John's ass, though.
Also true. Also true.
But yeah, Sam is forbidden to die. You have to make it. You have to.
Yeah, yeah, Sue.
You're the smartest. You're the smartest one here. We need you.
A little further south, but still in the north, Bran meets the boy of his dreams. So what did you think of Jojen and Meera?
Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't write anything down. Who are they? who are they?
Well, we'll get some answers a little later. About who they are, so we'll come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, even those answers don't. I don't know what any of that meant.
Well, they specifically came to find Bran.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And they
and a dude showed up in Bran's dream.
Yeah.
So told him we have somewhere to go.
So let's save like all the answers for the next scene when we get a little bit more, because this is really, we literally just see them and that's it.
It's literally like a who are they scene.
In the Riverlands, I guess hindsight is 2020, huh?
Yo, I wrote down that Gendry is just like us. He's asking the same exact questions that we asked.
Okay, and aren't like too bad Jagan didn't give you three names, huh? Too bad you didn't get three names. I guess
he's just like us. Like,
yep, I wrote that down too. Just like us.
You could have ended the war.
Okay, but you're a directionless idiot, because where even are we? Stupid.
Doesn't matter. Like, if a genie, like I said before, if a genie gives you three wishes, like, you ain't gonna ask for a loaf of bread, some sandwich meat, and a tomato.
I definitely ain't asking for no tomato.
Me either. I'm getting something more. I ain't getting something to hold me over for a night. But yeah, he's asking the right questions.
Is he asking the right questions or is he being irritating? Shut the fuck up.
A little bit of both.
Like, Arya and Brienne are both dealing with very attractive, mouthy men. I'm so sorry to these women. But our dark words in this scene come as the band approaches and they're singing the Reigns of
Cat. I was gonna say, do they come in the form of a song?
Yep, those are our dark words. They're busted. That was pretty sweet. What did you think, Ginge?
Of which part?
Of the Brotherhood without.
Well, at first I was like, who are these guys? And then pretty crazy that they, I mean, I guess because they were loud and arguing that they would have known that they were there, but pretty good shot through the thing, through the little hole, almost hit Arya.
These dudes are legit.
Yeah, like they
keep Thoros in your mind. Thoros of Mir.
We'll come back to Thoros of Mir. We'll remember in season one when Jory was talking to Jaime about the battle that they were at together, and Jaime said Thoros of Mir and his flaming sword.
Yeah, and his flaming sword. So yeah, that's what I said. Keep that in mind.
Okay. And then why was Arya, so when Arya, you know, revealed herself and he's in there asking questions, she uses we and us and stuff during her whole thing. But then when he asks who your friends at, she's like, oh, what friends? Like, girl, you just gave it all up.
She's a kid.
You gotta learn, man. You gotta learn. Mistakes are there to be learned from.
She tries.
It's gross.
And it's, and like we talk about like how much Bran's grown.
Girl, like, Arya is
Arya. Yeah, she looks a lot more grown too.
She does.
Not really. Arya in the face is always gonna look like super young to me.
Yeah, but she's like taller, like she looks a little, she looks like more mature in the face.
You know who really looks grown up out of these three is Hot Pie. Hot Pie looks a lot.
Yes. Yeah, he does.
I disagree. I think Gendry and him look exactly the same.
I think Hot Pie looks, he looks more mature.
But Arya's like the way that I see my niece now. Like, I still see my niece's like little baby face, but then I look at her, I'm like, God damn, you're getting fucking old.
Just wait until it's your actual child and like they add that teen on there at the end. It's a wild ride. But also, what did you think of Hot Pie's first good decision?
A to movie? Oh, duh.
Yes, to listen to somebody.
The issue I have with that is the angle at which he pointed the arrow up in the sky would not have landed that close to them.
Correct. That shit would have shot way fucking far.
Ow. Yeah, like bro, shot it like bro, you actually did almost straight up.
Y'all can't see this, but Gingy's brought out a whiteboard. a physics equation on it, and he's done the math, y'all.
He broke it down for us.
Mm-hmm. Daggone right. I took a protractor and
geometry. Somethingometry.
Good Ginge hunting. Back in King's Landing, Shay risks her life for some dick, and I respect it. I respect it.
I mean, it wasn't just for that.
Yeah, she's also trying to protect Sansa, which I love. I love Shay's relationship with Sansa in the show and how they went more in depth with it than they did in the book.
I do like it too.
Because Shay at the end of the day is a girl's girl.
Yeah.
Like, she's gonna, like, that girl's protected, her job's done. Now I can go get some dick.
But she's also a jealous woman too. Like, you can't ask a man, like, that's like, she's just basically asked Tyrion, oh, is Sansa pretty? Yeah, she's pretty. You think she's pretty?
I hate when women do that. Turning shit around. Like, nah, bro. Like, I don't want to talk about her. You brought her up.
Yeah, you brought it up. Won't be. But yeah. She thinks that he's into Sansa.
Yeah. And they get their dark words in this scene when Shay says, oh, the cruelty. Shay is so cruel to me. And then, of course, Tyrion's much more serious. We've come to a dangerous place. Like, babe. Take a look around you. You got to play by the rules.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the power I had when we got here. I'm lucky to have this nice apartment that my dad.
I got out of the halfway house. Now I'm in a.
Exactly. Like now I'm in
a little bit better.
Yeah. It's a walk up, but it's still nice. Elsewhere in the castle, Marjorie plays the game.
Yes, she does.
Playing the game.
Walking down this hall, all I can hear is Triple H's music in my head. Because I'm like, that is exactly what she did. She should have just spit water when she walked in.
Yeah, she should have.
She played that loser like a fiddle.
Yeah, she did.
Exactly what he was looking for, because he was trying it. He really
she's so smart that, like, I think it caught her off guard when she walks in there and this man's holding a fucking crossbow, but then she realized, like,
oh yeah,
what's happening. But like her improv and just like the way she starts thinking of things in the moment, like, it's like, holy shit, man. Like, this is where you realize, like, Cersei has met her match.
Absolutely.
Like, so, she ain't no fucking dummy.
So after this scene, Ginge, what do you think of Marjorie's intentions? Like, she does things for a reason. What do you think it is?
And see, that's what I don't like, because even, I mean, I guess she could be like queen. But like, if he, let's say if Joffrey dies, will she become like queen like Rhaenyra would be? Or does Joffrey's little brother take his place?
Queen consort, which means when he dies, she is nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So like,
she'll be in the same position she was when Renly died.
So that's why I don't really like know what the angle would be here to like...
So her angle, and I thought this the first time I watched it, thinking now, and at this point, like, she is only there for what she said. She wants to be queen.
She wants to be queen.
So she's doing everything she can to be queen.
Just to marry him.
She's consistent in her ways. I'll just put it that way. Like, she doesn't waver. So like, even in this moment, we see that she has to tell the story about Renly and to like get on Joffrey's good side. But when she's there, she plays into the shit that he likes.
Oh yeah, she's
playing. So she plays into the crossbow, she plays into the weapon, she plays into killing things.
Talking about. And that was the only thing, because like, I'm a little, I don't understand like if there was, but when she says, "Would you watch me kill something?" And I'm like, is that foreshadowing to her killing him? But I'm like, I don't see what the reason of that would be.
Yeah.
What?
That's a good theory. I like
the way you put that together.
But yeah, she's just consistent. She wants to be queen, and she will do anything to get there. And we've seen it, because we've seen even the way that she catered to Renly by, hey, I'll go get my brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she don't care. She's supposed to be queen. She'll do anything to make the king happy.
Because it's like this whole scene is like when a girl gets a boyfriend and like, you knew that girl had a football team like when she was single, but now her team is his team. That's what this is. She's like, oh, you're a Raiders fan? Girl, me too. I love the Raiders. I love committing crime.
Red flag.
But Marge is good. Marge is damn good.
Yeah, she is.
Got her work cut out for her. Oh.
And I love this episode because we get to see where she gets it from.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. And Elena only gets better. Ooh, buddy. Because she'll talk shit. Like, she's like a very good depiction of a woman that age. Like, she's like the dowager on Downton Abbey, played by Maggie Smith. Like, she just says, what the fuck ever. Because who's going to check me?
Yeah.
Not my stupid son. Not that idiot. Like, not my gay grandson.
And we haven't met him yet, have we?
No, we have not met the Lord.
God, I can't wait till we meet him. Because, like, I can't wait to ask James what his opinion is of him. Because, like, spoiler alert, she's right. He's a fucking oaf. Like, he's a fucking idiot.
I have an opinion of the way that he looks that I will bring up when we see him. Because, like, the first time I saw him, he triggered a very specific childhood movie memory for me. And I was just like, that's who he looks like. So I have to bring that up to see if y'all agree with me. But I can't wait. The Lord Oaf is, what a dummy. All right, well, we'll move on to a couple of sisters protecting their brothers. First up, Theon's being tortured. Hooray! Applause, applause, applause.
Still.
He deserves it.
And what are Theon's dark words? I wanted to hurt them. Thank you for the truth. We appreciate it.
I'm a little confused.
Well, that was the lie.
Was that the lie? Is that what
that was the lie? Yeah. Because okay. the first one was the lie. The second one was the truth. And then he's like, oh, holy shit. I just gave up my father. No, I wanted to kill the Starks. I wanted to hurt the Starks. That was the lie.
Okay. All right. Ginge, what are you confused about? What?
I just like, who is sitting here torturing him? And if it's his dad's people, like, why? And then if it is his dad's people, why is his sister trying to free him?
Okay.
And then if it's not his dad's people, who the hell are they?
I think there's...
Okay, I'll put it like this. Okay, you see the device he's up on, correct?
Yeah, I was going to say that. There's some obvious things here that just show you who's torturing him. And who has him. So, all right, we're just going to get into it. Fuck it.
We'll get to it at the end of the episode. We'll come back around because at the end of the episode, it's a lot of, like, this will come back up, like, this device that he's on. And, like, what that visual cue was meant to signal.
Oh! Ah! It just clicked. Ah! Okay, forget all those questions. Oh, it just clicked.
Yeah. But that's, remember, we talked about it at the beginning of the episode. We were like, you know, that's like, what's up with Roose Bolton and the letter? And
yeah, it all clicking now. It click, 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 click.
Imagine if we see Theon get flayed in this shit, though.
Oh. Yeah.
But yeah,
the ride we're about to go on, because like I will say, of all the things that happen in book three, this is not one of them. Theon's not even in book three at all, or four.
Wow,
really?
So like I really like that they have sped this part up and like given us something for the show.
Yeah, I do think it would have been a little weird if you went two seasons without him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that I see the show, like, I've never read the book, so all I have is source material from the show. Like, what do they do with Theon in the books?
I don't know now. Like, as like season two or book two ends the way that season two did, except they go a little more into that.
Uh-huh.
Do a little bit of what we get in three. But in book three, there's no Theon. He doesn't have a POV. Like, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. And
so I wonder where his story goes. Like, what do they pick up with him at? Like, is he,
I mean, his story is a lot the same.
It's okay. Just later.
Like, it's just, yeah, it's just later. And it's like, where are they gonna pick it up? Because it was not in the 47 hours.
And I guess that's the confusion, because we go through so much in the show.
7 hours. Yeah,
like, we go through so much.
His name was said like a few times.
Okay.
So, like, I really enjoy this. And Yara is coming for her brother.
Now that now that y'all said that and everything's clicking, I'm good.
I love it. I love it.
Fire. Yeah, just keep in mind, like, just the people we see. The shit he's dealing with. Yeah, because, well, this is all going to make sense. And boy, it gets worse.
Well, in the north, the other sister protecting her brother would be Mira, who protects Jojen. But Any boy his age that needs a sister to protect him, gonna need a lot of protecting. Theon. No,
what's funny is, like, it's Osha saying all this, and she's doing the same thing with Bran.
But Bran's not her brother.
Doesn't
he's
matter.
Crippled.
But Bran also can't protect himself.
Crippled. I don't want to hear it.
As far as they know, Jojen is able-bodied.
Yeah, as far as they know, but you know, Jojen could have some issues.
She doesn't know that because they're not outside wounds, so she has to learn about him. But interesting, Jojen had the same dream that Bran had, saw him in there, and he also saw Ned.
This is where we get into who they are. So
this is when we get into who they are. Jojen and Mira are the children of Howland Reed, who fought in the war with Ned.
And Bobby.
And we'll get more about Howland Reed later.
Okay.
Way later.
Yeah.
I like the way that they've introed these two, because like Jojen and Mira were actually at Winterfell when the Ironborn took over, like in the books. So like introducing them in this way, I really like it. I like Bran's storyline better this way.
Yeah, this, I think it's really cool how they introduced them, especially since, you know, the ride we're gonna go on with those two and Bran, and just how much he is like instrumental in Bran's journey. So like it just makes sense the way they did it.
And even when he came up, Summer knew him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like we've seen how those wolves act around strangers. And like he just put his hand out and Summer walked off. What does that
mean? To be honest, like, let me ask you, just like if we go forward to where the Reeds end up, are you happy with their ending?
Collectively, no.
Okay, me either.
Not collectively. Half? Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good with half. I'm not good with the other half.
Okay. Same.
Although, I guess.
It's very disappointing to me.
Yeah, but I guess you could make an argument that, like, it's real life and you don't get closure.
True. But I think it's just like, I don't know. We'll get to it way, way later down the line. But even in a scene, when Bran tells him that, you know, hey, your dad saved my dad. Like, I wonder why Ned never talked about that with anybody else, or it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like Howland Reed ever got like his due for being the person he was to save Ned and in that whole situation. Nor is Howland Reed talking about it with his kid. So I wonder what that's about.
Maybe he's just a dude and doesn't like to talk. I mean, we don't like to talk.
Yeah, because he goes, yeah, my dad wouldn't tell me about that, but I saw it.
Things that Jojen has seen. And the only thing that matters, Bran.
Yep, that's my,
We'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. But yeah, that's the thing. That's my revelation from this. Mm-hmm. From this whole entire thing.
Was it? Okay. Boop, 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 boop.
You see where I'm going at? You see where I'm getting at?
I see what you're getting. I see what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
If I would have paid attention to this, my life would have been so much better.
Ooh, wee. Well, you guys, so much for freedom in the Riverlands. Question mark?
Question mark?
First, Arya, then Brienne the Stallion. Wow. What an action-packed ending. Let's get into that.
Yep.
Arya at the end. With the Brotherhood. How'd you get out of Harrenhal?
Is that the same tavern that Kat was at when she caught Tyrion? Because it kind of looked similar in season one.
I don't think it's an...
It does look similar.
Same, but all the taverns look like this.
They do. Because I was thinking about something else. That comes later.
Arya, surprisingly, the Brotherhood is going to let them go. Arya and her friends are free to fucking leave. Oh, wait. Who's this prisoner? What? It's...
The fucking hell.
Ginge, were you happy to see Sandor? Were you surprised to see Sandor? What went through your head?
I said, oh, damn. That's the Hound.
Got him. Now, let's think about the Hound and how the Hound feels about fire and what we already know about Thoros.
Ooh. Yep. Here's a better question for you. Out of all this time and the amount of people that Arya has seen and come across, how is it that he is the only one to be able to point her out?
I know exactly what this girl looks like.
why is he the one that can point her out?
Well, he's the only one that's really seen her with all the other Starks.
Yeah, he's seen her a lot. Like, he saw her at court. He rode down her butcher's boy. Like, he knows her face.
Yeah.
So is Littlefinger.
Yeah, but we don't know for sure that Littlefinger got a full-on view of her.
Yeah, well, that's still up for debate.
Yeah.
Because of what he told Sansa.
It doesn't look like the Hound got a full-on view of her either.
She
was kind of doing one of these numbers and he still recognized her.
But yeah, she's recognized. How'd you feel about him calling her out there?
I don't know, because, I mean, he's kind of like, fuck the king, so, like, she really even need to be worried? Like, he was going to protect Sansa, so, like, I don't think she has anything to worry about. Now, the Brotherhood, the Bannerless Brotherhood dudes, like, I don't know what they're going to do, but they don't like the Lannisters either, so I feel like it's all good in the hood.
Okay. Okie doke. Elsewhere in the Riverlands, Jaime and Brienne foreplay.
Yeah, he always ends up with a sword in his hand somehow, some way.
Listen, and like, she got him, but he was cuffed.
Correct. True.
His movement was limited. But
however, their movement was the same. They had the same fighting style.
Yeah. Okay. And he did compliment her.
Yeah, he did.
Fighting style.
So you move well.
What did you think? What did you think of this fight scene, Ben?
I thought it was pretty cool. Like, finally a duel between them, because I said it when they got on the boat. I was like, that'd be cool to see them fight each other. I would have liked it to have been a little longer and not been interrupted, but it was a nice little dance.
And what did you think about how it ended? Like, with her besting him?
Oh, I thought, like, it was, there was a moment, so when she's fighting him, she's like, oh, okay, he's a good fighter. And then, like, halfway through, maybe three-quarters of the way through, she, like, realizes, like, I got him. Like, this is easy. And then that's when she's just, like, drops the hammer and easily defeats him.
Yeah. And I think one thing that she realizes that she has is she's stronger than him.
Yeah.
Like she could just fucking throw him around like a ragdoll.
Like, it was like three quarters of the way through and her whole demeanor changed and she was like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. I'm done doing this charade.
And even at the very end, when like she sees the guys but he doesn't, she just like smacks a sword. Kind of like how Thoros does Arya in the tavern. She does one of those numbers to him. Like, she's like suns him right there.
I love it, because I didn't even notice that. Thank you for that input.
Yeah, it's about maybe three quarters of the way. in between the half and three quarters, she's like, all of a sudden her face changes and she's like, I can win. She like, she knows she can win. And then she does.
Cinema. I love it. I love it. Feminism.
But again,
unfortunately, those dark words come back to haunt them. That guy that she couldn't kill because he was just an innocent man. LOL, no men are innocent.
As she has the tears in her eyes when she's looking at him walk go away, like she's
baby.
Yeah.
Now guess what? Guess who rides up? The flayed man of House Bolton.
Yeah, Mr. Bolton has his hands in a lot of shit right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are his best hunters.
I mean, they got him. They caught him.
I mean,
they caught him.
Sure.
They caught him. Of course, Brienne messed up. Is this a mistake she'll learn from?
Nope. She's still honorable.
She is, and I think that that's Jamie's like big issue with her, is that like his whole thing like throughout the series has been like oaths and honor and Kingslayer and all that, and he's like met somebody who's like determined to keep the oath that she made.
Yeah.
He's like, what? Never seen it. Never felt that, never experienced that emotion. Well, that's going to do it. We've made it to the end of our episode. Season 3, episode 2, Dark Wings, Dark Words. Do we have anyone to pour out for?
I did not write anybody down, so if we do...
No?
I don't think there's anybody of name that died. I don't think there's anybody that died.
No? I mean, Theon was tortured, and then Jamie and Brienne had their little conflict, but nobody died.
Another episode with no deaths. That makes what, two?
Three.
Three?
I think it's the third one with no deaths of any.
All right. Well, now for our quote segment, stick it with the pointy end. I'm going to go first. First up is Sansa. Like, the callbacks in this episode, first with Bran to episode 1, and then Sansa to episode 2, where it's like she's given the opportunity to tell the truth about Joffrey, and she does. She says, he's a monster. Ginge, do you think that her admittance of him being a monster now means something more for, like, consequence
for who?
Like, if I told the king that Joffrey was a monster, what's he gonna do? Nothing.
He probably would have just been like, I know.
Her. So just something to keep in mind, that Sons has gotten her truth out and she's had her therapy session and her And then Cersei, give it to Marjorie for her wedding gown. Should be more than enough fabric. These two and this back and forth, I can't wait. There's going to be one of these like every episode they're in. And then finally is Mother and everything that's happened since then. All this horror that's come to my family. It's all because I couldn't love a motherless child. Fucking ouch.
Yeah.
Wild.
No.
Yeah, so those are mine. Who's next?
I'll go next because I only have one. Because like I was just so intrigued by the episode, so I didn't really write anything down. Mine comes from Jamie when him and Brienne are talking about Renly. He says, it's a shame that the throne isn't made out of cocks, because they would have never got him off of it.
I knew when I was going to do that one.
Oh, Jamie.
Oh.
Probably not wrong, though.
Ginge?
My first one is from Joffrey when he's talking to his mom. When he says she married Renly Baratheon because she was told to, because that's what intelligent women do, what they're told. And the reason I chose that is because that's some bullshit. And men still to this day act like that.
To this day.
And it's sickening.
I love it.
Then my next one is from Grandma. might be the second best character in the series.
Grandmother.
Behind Sam?
No, behind Tyrion. Oh, okay. Sam dropped down to three.
Special place in your heart.
Yeah. But she says, but once the cow's been milked, there's no squirting the cream back up her udders. Oh, that shit had me rolling. And then my last one is from Mira when she's talking to Osha when they're on the road, and she says some people will always need help. That doesn't mean they're not worth helping.
No.
A lot of good ones in this episode. This was a really good episode.
This was a good episode.
This really. All right.
So where did he put episode one? Where are we at in the blind rankings? That was what, nine or?
No. Blind rank, yeah, he said 9 for episode 1.
All right, so blind rankings, where do you rank this one in the season?
I put 1-9?
Yeah.
Damn. Can I drop it down now?
Oh, you think that's too low or too high?
It's too high.
I think it's too high now. This was way better episode.
But then why don't you put this one high? These blind rankings are hard.
But like, if I put it, it isn't 10. Wouldn't 10 be the highest?
No.
Oh.
1 is the best.
1's the best.
1's the best.
Yeah, oh, you're okay. Ranking them.
Oh, okay, I'm ranking wrong. Okay. Yeah. Okay, then that's way better. Okay. I'm gonna put this at. That's a 9.
We got 10 episodes.
Yeah, exactly. And you've been foreshadowing, saying that you can't wait for me to see this one episode in this series. So it's like, I can't put it too high because I'm sure it's something going to be great.
Who's to say this wasn't the one episode?
Nah. You'd have been way more excited. I think I'm going to put it at a 4.
4. Okay. That's actually where
I like that spot.
I love it. That's a good spot.
Like, that's high enough to get it up there, but it also leaves you some
room. Yeah, it leaves me a little bit of room.
I love it. This is a brilliant idea, TJ.
Only once a week. Typically happens when we do this podcast. Rains as fires.
Yes, this podcast. That's going to do it for this episode of this podcast. Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. On behalf of Gingy, the excited, and TJ, I'm Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.